Your official station to talk New York Knicks.
The Knicks win. The Knicks advance to the second round. Eliminate the Sixers in six games.
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Right back at it on the Fan, you heard? KM to 2 a.m. So we got 2 hours to talk about the victory from now yesterday, the day before, and get ready for tonight. 1, 2, 3, let's go. The Knicks win. It was a must-win game. I don't think there was much of a doubt. Like, even in the first quarter, I think we all knew what time it was in the Garden. 877-337-6666. Jalen Brunson's foot is fine. Isaiah Hartenstein's shoulder's fine. You already knew Josh Hart was going to be in there doing what he does. Dante DiVincenzo in there talking tough, taking fouls, hanging on the rim. They just out-rebounded these guys, out-gritted these guys, out-toughed these guys. And the Pacers are not a better team than the Knicks, even being fully healthy. Even having their full complement of guys. Because they just have a bunch of guys. But as Tommy told you, Tommy Lugauer, not Tom Thibodeau, as our very own Tommy Lugauer told you, the Knicks don't just have guys. They've got dudes. They've got dogs. And yeah, they're slightly damaged, but they're still doing damage as they take a 3-2 lead going back to Indy. And like I said, those guys are soul-searching over there. They're not like that. They're not really built like that. They're not stepping into the Garden doing anything with the Knicks. And I think that they know in their minds, right? Well, even if we get this game in Indy, it's going to be tough to come back here and beat John Starks and Stephon Marbury and Spike Lee and Fat Joe and Tracy Morgan and Victor Cruz. better watch Hoosiers tonight, tomorrow. Peace, Rami. Rami out of here. Alex stepping in. I'll bring Alex in a minute because I want to ask Alex something. You got two Nets fans, one hosting, one producing. We're going to talk about something in a minute because I see some goofies online that think if you're a Nets fan, right, if you're a Nets fan, you got to be a hater. If you're a Nets fan, you can't appreciate good basketball. If you're a Nets fan, you can't look at this Knicks run and damn, look at your own team and wish it was you, but not have negative energy talking down on them hoping for them to fail. Like, I'm a New York radio host. I get to talk to New York City. And this is a special time. I'm on the Fan. It's not about my fandom. It's not about the team I chose when I was 12, 13. It's about you. It's about the team you chose when you were 12, 13, or younger. Stay down till you come up. You Knicks fans deserve this. I saw Wale put out a tweet the other day. You Knicks fans deserve. The whole NBA world has watched you suffer, has laughed at your disappointment. You've been the butt of every joke. And now it seems like you're getting the last laugh. 877-337-6666. So the Knicks handle business in the Garden. They win 121-91 over the Pacers. Game 6. I think we got a couple days here, more to rest. And that's only going to help your New York Knicks. Friday, they will face the Pacers in Game 6. The Pacers are facing elimination. The Knicks are not. Maybe we get to a Game 7, but I think now the Knicks are back in the driver's seat. You feel good about things. They win without OG Anunoby. They start Miles McBride, and guys like Alec Burke shows up. Alec Burke shows up, and Precious Achiuwa does enough, and all in all, the Knicks out-rebound them, shoot way more than them, and just punk them, just bully them in the Garden. 877-337-6666. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. Some might have said that after the first three series. It was not premature. Some of us had questions about Anthony Volpe leading off. Some of us had questions about Aaron Judge and his health, batting third, Juan Soto mania taking over the team. Alex Verdugo coming in here from the Red Sox. Giancarlo Stanton being here, coming off the year that he had. There were a lot of questions around Anthony Rizzo coming back from his concussion. Gleyber Torres, the book is still out on, but good to see Gleyber come back around after sitting for a day. All it took was one day, right? I was begging for it. Hey, John Birdie's back. Put John Birdie at third, put Oswaldo Cabrera at second base, and sit Gleyber down for a day. Hit reset. He comes back. He homers. He follows it up with a two-hit game. Rizzo with a knock tonight. Stan with two knocks and a homer tonight, his ninth of the season. Alex Verdugo, a knock, two ribbies. Ooh, 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 the dog. And all rise, number 99, the captain, looks right at the plate again. Juan Soto is Juan Soto with the highest batting average on the team, one of the best in the league. I think in my notes somewhere I clipped that he just passed Mickey Mantle. Yeah, he passed Mickey Mantle, making MLB history for the most walks before turning 26 years old, the generational Juan Soto. And in his second year, 22-year-old Anthony Volpe, young boy, leading off, MLB young boy doing his thing. He's adjusted, and he's got a little hit streak going. He's looked a lot better. So you look at the Yankees pitching without Gerrit Cole, Carlos Rodon. He's 4-2. He goes six innings tonight. He gives up a solo shot, whatever. Cole does that. Tanaka did that. Everybody does that. It's baseball, Susan. It's Susan baseball. But all in all, Carlos Rodon has been a lot better this year than he was last year. And you know, New York Penn Station, all stops here. The bullpen comes in. They just get stops. Ian Hamilton, Clay Holmes. I'm happy with my New York Yankees. Now, the Met fan is looking at the Mets, and they're saying, what is this? Now this team is under 500, losing to the hated Philadelphia Phillies. A perfect game was going on for a little while. And you're giving them the game, hit by pitch, walks, and it's got to be better. It's got to be better. Because the pitching is better than you expected for the New York Mets. Guys like Luis Severino have been solid. Here comes Christian Scott. He's been very good his first two outings of his career. Jose Buto hasn't been bad, hasn't been great. Jose Quintana, not good. Adrian Hauser, not good, converted to the bullpen. But all in all, these guys got a hit. And it's not early anymore for the New York Mets. You need more out of the guys you're dependent on. This is a walk year for Pete Alonso. This is supposed to be a year where Pete Alonso is trying to make $300 million. I don't know about that, Scott Boras. Francisco Lindor already made his $300 million. He's here, he's there, he's here, he's there, he's there, he's not. He's batting 200, he goes 0 for today. Jeff McNeil's supposed to be a batting title guy, hitting above 300. He's hitting about 100 points less than what you expect, around 230, 236. Brett Beatty, people are questioning him. He has his moments defensively. He had a couple moments at the plate, but not good enough. And I mean, all in all, you're getting contributions from guys like Tyrone Taylor. Do Tyrone Taylor and Tyrod Taylor get together for lunch now that they're both playing for New York teams? I'll hang up and listen. 877-337-6666. The Liberty are back. The who? The what? The Liberty? Caitlin Clark? The New York Liberty. Remember they made it to the finals? The Liberty are back. They start the season 1-0. So the Knicks won. The Yankees won. The Liberty won. And the Mets right now are looking for a win as they have a home-and-home series with the Philadelphia Phillies. They got to go down the turnpike and play two there. The Phillies, like the Yankees, have the most wins in their league, respectively. And you're hoping that the Mets can kind of figure it out with Joey Wendell being sent down and Mark Vientos coming up. And you just need to go on a run. I've been talking about this for the Mets. They take a step forward, and then they take two steps back. And now it seems like they're just taking steps back, and they're a few games under 500. But who are you mad at? Steve Cohen, David Stearns, Carlos Mendoza, or yourself? 877-337-6666. We'll get back to the phones. Full rack of calls, and I think everybody wants to talk. Knicks obviously coming off of that big win, and we need to start talking about the Rangers, though. My hope is that the Rangers feed off of what the Knicks did in the Garden, and they understand that they're not facing elimination. and they understand that they're up in the series, and they understand that they need to turn it back up. They need to have a sense of urgency out the gate and play like they want to end that series and not end up in another game seven, which I'll just leave it at that. 877-337-6666. Jason is in Brooklyn. Jason, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. First thing quickly about the Knicks, then I'll get to the Rangers. Big win. Big win. It's a big thing, especially with this, with 30 points. That momentum bringing them back to Indiana. Even if they lose, they won't be crushed. It will be close. And then they'll come back to the Garden. I have faith in the Knicks.
I think you got to have faith. I think, obviously, the series doesn't start until somebody loses a game on their home floor. Right now, the Knicks won all three games on their home floor. The Pacers won there, too. Let's see what happens in Game 6. Even if they lose, you feel good about them taking the series. When the series started, I said Knicks in 7. We very well could see Knicks in 6, but they're showing you the toughness. They're showing you they're the better team with the better player. And when the referees are doing their job and it all seems fair and even or whatnot, the Knicks are the better squad. They're better than the Pacers. The Pacers have a bunch of random dudes.
That's right. And now, about the Rangers, you just think, everyone's getting all scared now. Oh, no, two games, and that's going to be another two games. Before the series started, nobody was saying the Rangers are going to sweep. Nobody was saying the Rangers are going to win 5. They were saying the Rangers in 6, Rangers in 7. All right, I have faith in the Rangers. I think they're going to win Game 6. They were sloppy in Game 5. I was there. I couldn't believe it. The entire game, horrible defense. They were just letting them walk into the zone. It wasn't Igor's fault. He was playing amazing. They got to realize that they're not playing the Washington Capitals. They're playing an amazing Carolina Hurricane team, and they got to step up, and they got to take this Game 6 to the conference finals.
Well said, Jason. Thanks for the call, and I think they can, and I think they will. There's a lot of pressure involved with that Game 5 coming back home, knowing you can end it. And I think that they were sleepwalking a bit. I think going into the third period, up 1-0, it's like, okay, we just got to survive this third period, not give anything up, and we win 1-0. And then the Carolina Hurricanes, with their backs against the wall, desperation, urgency, fighting for their season, they came out there on fire and took it from them. They wanted it more. So the series continues. And Jason brings up a great point. Man, going into the series, if you get outside of New York, the Carolina Hurricanes were favored to win the series, even though the Rangers won the President's Trophy, even though the Rangers swept the Cavaliers. You know what I'm saying? The series wasn't supposed to be a sweep. And I think I heard P.K. Subban say this, that losing a couple games, having to dig deep and find it, having to go through some adversity is good for the Rangers. Right? Because imagine they did just sweep the Capitals, sweep the Hurricanes, and then get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's like, nah, you got to take a loss. And sometimes you gotta lose to know how to win. You take it on the chin, you come back better for it. 877-337-6666. Jack is in Queens. Jack, you're on the Fan.
Yo, how's Jack. It going?
It's going good. What's up, bro? You're on.
Yeah, so a Leafs fan myself, right? Obviously, you got teams like us, you know, early round exits, keep losing in the playoffs. And then, you know, teams like us, you got to push the reset button, you know, rebuild your core, fire the coach, rebuild management, right? And so at what point do you press the reset button for the Rangers? Because, I mean, you look at the past 10 years, right?
Wait, what?
Because, like, because granted, like, they made it farther, right? They made it third round, second round. But they've never actually won. And, like, who's their core, right? All in their prime, last years of their prime. Time's ticking. I don't know what to say.
No, I think you're – I think you got to stay present. I think you got to live in the moment, in today. We're not talking about what happens after the season. They're up. They're a game away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're not talking about, like, nah, I don't know. Like, you're talking as if they are already eliminated.
No. I'm saying whatever happens, time's still running out.
Time's running out on everybody.
Yeah, but this is a team that's Look, Kreider's
They got rid of Gerard Gallant. That's why Peter Laviolette is running the squad right now. Now is the time. Like, this is the year for the Rangers to get back to the Cup and win it. And they're one game away from advancing to the last round that you have to advance through to get to the Stanley Cup.
Right, and if they don't make it this year, then it's the same.
We don't know about next year. We can't fast forward to next year. We can't predict next year. We have no idea.
Yeah, all right. Yo, shout out to Hesh and shout.
I don't know what's going on. I was letting him give his shout outs. I didn't cut the phone. He hung up. On his boy's shout outs. Let's go. Let's get it together, folks. All right, I'm going to bring Alex in. So I'm on Twitter. And, you know, Twitter is a fake place. You can be whoever you want to be on Twitter. I chose to be myself on Twitter. It's worked out pretty well for me, I have to say. But I understand that, you know, there was a long time that I was on Twitter trolling Knicks fans. What I say is punching up as a New Jersey Nets fan or a Brooklyn Nets fan, the dysfunctional Brooklyn Nets. But, like, I did spend a lot of that time doing Nets podcasts and not hosting on WFAN, being on live during Knicks games or being on live after Knicks wins. Like, how corny would I sound coming on after tonight's game, last night's game, and hating on the Knicks? Yeah, whatever. I'd sound like Draymond Green. I'd sound like some of these other goofies in the media that can't just look at the game, take their own personal feelings out of it, their own fandom out of it, or whatever team they play for, root for, whatever, take the past history out of it, and just watch the game. The Knicks are tough. They play good basketball. They have a system. They believe in each other. They're on a special run. And it's got nothing to do with the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets are cooked. But I see people like, tagging me as if I'm pretending. I'm not pretending. I'm doing my job, stupid. Like, what are you talking about? I see one tweet. He calls himself a Nets fan, but since the team is not good, he's off the wagon and onto the Knicks wagon. No, I'm not. You'll never see me with any Knicks gear on. I'm not pulling up to these games. I'm betting on the games, but I bet on every game. I was betting on the Rangers the other night. I think some of you are confused. Like, I get paid to talk New York sports, and that trumps my fandom or the past or me as a Nets fan who always had to punch up at Knicks fans. And while the Nets were sweeping the Knicks, oh, it was glorious. But the Nets are a laughing stock now. We shouldn't even be wasting this much time on them. Alex, what do you say as a fellow Nets fan watching this Knicks run? If you were in my chair, how would you approach your nightly shows?
You have a pretty tough position, to be honest. But at the same time, there's no reason to not like good basketball because, every time I say, I don't say much on the air, and when I say I'm just not saying it because I'm hopping on the bandwagon, once they made the trade for OG Anunoby, I've been saying that the Knicks are the second best team in the East behind the Celtics. And they have a really good defense. I always thought Hartenstein was better than Mitchell Robinson, and look what he's doing. 12 offensive rebounds is nuts. They'll get it done. I don't know if it'll be 6 or 7, but they'll get it done. It will just be a really interesting series against Boston. And as a Nets fan, I know how good they are defensively. Do I want them to win the whole thing? No. But at the same time, they're like literally every game before tonight and game 5, it was going down to the wire. They were entertaining games. So what's not to enjoy about NBA playoffs?
If you're an NBA fan, don't you watch the playoffs every year?
Right now, Nuggets and Timberwolves right now, and I'm enjoying it. So, I always say this. I'm a sports fan first of like the sport, of the actual sport, and then it's my team.
Anyone that listens to me can tell that I am aware of what goes on in all of baseball, basketball, football, more now NHL. I am not putting my fandom in front of hosting a good show. I'm not putting my fandom in front of you. How lame would that be if you turn on the fan expecting somebody to talk about the game and instead they're projecting their fandom and being a hater and rooting for you to lose. Nah, I want people to enjoy things, man. If it was my team, I'd want the same energy. And like as Nets fans, right, when the Nets were having their little run, I could tell. I remember talking to Evan before I got on the radio. I had Evan on my Nets podcast. And I was like, Evan, you're our only voice. You're the only one that represents us. Because all of the talk around the Nets was always slanted because it was guys that root for the Knicks in New York talking about the Nets, and they were kind of salty about the Nets having the superstars. Oh, how quickly that faded out. Oh, how quickly the Knicks got it now, and the Nets are paying Ben Simmons to show up to the Met Gala with a clock on his suitcase.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not great. It's going to be another transition year for 2024, and who knows what's going to... And of course, every time we trade our picks, they end up being top three, but when we have them, they just don't...
Oh, just more salt on the wound, adding insult to injury
and
this
I know
week.
A lot of people
number three
think,
pick traded to the Rockets that they wanted to send back to us.
Yeah, yeah, it's just... I still think that could happen because they apparently the Rockets, like, immediately once they... got that pick, they want to trade it immediately. But I mean, they're still like, it's just sad, kind of sad how the Knicks are a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals and God knows how long. And the Nets' biggest storyline is trying to trade up in one of the weakest drafts of all time and having to pay Ben Simmons and whether or not Cam Thomas is staying or Claxton is staying.
We've gone from Jacques Vaughn to Kevin Ollie to Yordy Fernandez. This team is a mess. This team could still fire Sean Marks just off the fact that pick that the Houston Rockets have is now a top three pick. But they're not going to do that. The owner of the Nets was so vocal against his superstars.
And look what Kyrie's doing now with Dallas. I mean, he just needed that environment. I never went like salty on him because I knew how special he was as a player. I think he was always misunderstood.
Listen, man, it was a lot of nonsense. But I'll say this before we get back to the teams that are still playing in New York and competing and winning in New York. The Brooklyn Nets had it. They messed it up. I mean, KD's eliminated, but he signed his four-year extension to still be a Brooklyn Net.
Imagine if that didn't happen. If that didn't happen, we'd be probably in the worst position in the entire NBA. But thankfully, we got the Suns picks. And even more Suns pick after that.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, I'm forever a Nets fan. Just because, like, I believe in that stay down till you come up.
Apparently, they're like, teasing a Vince Carter retirement jersey. You saw that?
I know that he's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame, and I see the Brooklyn Nets putting that stuff out on their Instagram. Man, they're late to retire his jersey number. And they're not going to play another game until October. I think what they're teasing is some type of tribute because they're, you know, he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But okay, if him going into the HOF is what it takes for the Brooklyn Nets to hang up a number 15 jersey in the rafters, you know, I'm always wearing my Vince Carter jersey. Vince needs to be respected. It was good to see him on the Yes Network this past season, but Vince should be respected as a legend with the Nets. But, you know, they have a hard time. That's another thing, too. They have a hard time respecting the New Jersey history because they wanted to cross the river and be Brooklyn so bad. They put Brooklyn across the chest. You'll never see a New Jersey jersey on that floor in Brooklyn. And even when they made the throwbacks, they just went N-E-T-S across the chest. And it seems like they want to erase that part of their history. And I'm like, that's stupid because your fan base, a lot of us, like myself included, grew up in Jersey, still live in Jersey, and you're alienating us to perpetrate and be a New York team again when the Knicks have been here for 100-plus years, and they have millions of fans, and their fans have gone across the country and across the globe, and now that they're good again, everybody is seeing them and feeling them outside of the Garden and everywhere beyond. 877-337-6666. Mark is in Barchmont. Mark, you're on the fan.
Yeah. Hi, Keith. How you doing?
Good.
I was at the Ranger game last night, and I was at the Knicks game tonight.
Oh, you got the hookup. You work over at the Garden?
No. I'm tired, but I can report that the Knicks fans were crazy. The The Ranger fans were good. They were supportive, even in the face of a lackadaisical effort. And the third period, you know, was the third period. But the Knicks fans were insane. Every shot that was made, every dunk that was made, people would stand up, cheered. It was so loud, my ears literally hurt. My ears did not hurt Monday night, but tonight it was amazing. The Knicks fans are obviously ravenous, passionate. There's a little starvation involved.
Yeah.
But it was really an amazing.
Yeah, there was, you could tell tonight. there was some nervous energy, but there wasn't that shook energy. They weren't afraid. The fans believed in the team. I feel like the Rangers fans, because of the past history, there's that slight fear that sets in. Hey, maybe they're choking. Maybe they're collapsing. With the Knicks fans, they got nothing to lose. Like, to be a game away from the Eastern Conference Finals, this is everything.
Yeah, I didn't believe it myself after the performance of the Knicks the last game. I was sort of, you know, questioning who was going to show up, but it was they the fans were symbiotic. They were one, and they just rolled over.
Yeah, I think that the fans play such a big part in the atmosphere, the energy, the players feed off of that. You can pick them up, and I mean, that's why the tickets cost so much, and that's why, you know, New York is a special place. They don't have this type of energy in Indiana. They don't have this type of energy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now we wait for tomorrow when the Rangers get back on the ice. No Knicks game tonight. It's a little bit of a break in between, but you hope that the Rangers go down there and just end it in six. You do not want to get to a game seven where anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I love me my Rangers, and you know, hopefully they can get it done down in Carolina.
I think they can. Thanks for the call, Mark. Mark's got the hookup. Mark said, "Yeah, I was at the Rangers game, and then I was at the Knicks game." You work over there? Shout out to the people that do work at the Garden. I know there's people that work at the Garden and don't care about the Rangers or the Knicks, but there's definitely some people working at the Garden that are both Rangers and Knicks fans, and you're getting to witness this run, and you're getting paid while you're doing it. It's lit. It's rare. It's special. I hear C-Mac at night talk about the Garden party, and I guess Rangers fans, they didn't bring the same energy as the Knicks fans, but it's a different experience. The Rangers are in it every year. The Knicks aren't. And like Mark said, there's a different hunger. There's a different thirst. There's a different feeling like, yo, we're the two seed. We're a game away. We win today, and we're a game away from hosting the Eastern Conference Finals. You won't be the higher seed. You'll have to go up to the fake Garden, but good. Madison Square Garden versus TD Garden. That we're a game away from that. That could be the next round. And again, putting myself into the equation, I am a New York radio host. I want this to continue. Why the hell would I be a hater in favor of being a Nets fan and hope for this to end for New York City? Hell no. 877-337-6666. Ethan out on Long Island. You're on the Fan in New York.
What's going on, Keith? How we doing?
Good, hanging out. I actually got to get eyes on this Timberwolves game. I'm keeping an eye on the score. It's been a 10-point game, Nuggets. I think the Nuggets got that series now. Everybody was ready to crown Ant-Man as the next Michael Jordan, and, oh, here come the Timberwolves. Yeah, okay.
No, the Nuggets got unlocked. My boy actually lives out in Denver. He's a Knicks fan, but he lives over there, and the energy there is not like ours, but it's up there. But no Rangers talk for me. I'm an Islanders guy, but what I was going to say was, I was coming back from the Knicks game, and damn, that energy was unmatched. Like that could have been the loudest sports game I've ever been at. It was great. I went round one this year, round two last year, but this was the best so far.
Oh yeah, it's only gonna get louder. It's only gonna get crazier, right?
100%. But I gotta say something, Keith. Like, cause I'm sometimes I don't stay up for your show, but I'm a big listener on the way home from work of Evan, and I mean, Evan presents what's a beauty about being a New York fan in the sense that we have two teams, really, if you count Buffalo and you count Jersey, we got three teams in three of the four sports and two teams in the other sport. You got to hate the other teams, man. Come on. I hate the Nets. I hate the Rangers, I hate the Devils, I hate the Yankees, and I hate the Giants. You got to hate on them. Come on.
I think I did when I was younger, but I grew up. You know, I'm more mature now.
So I guess your boy Evan didn't grow up then, is what you're saying.
I mean, I can't speak for Evan. Evan's on air talking about Planet of the Apes every day.
He is. He was ranking them the other day. He loves that.
So what are we talking about? Like,
you're right.
I can't speak for, you know, Evan Roberts in his position. I can only speak for me. I'm not going to watch Planet of the Apes. I don't even watch movies.
I get that. Keith can only speak for Keith, you know. But then also about the Mets, you know, like, I'm not too worried about where we're at right now. But as you said earlier in the show, like, it can slip very easily. Like, I'd say we got to win one of these two games in Philly and then win the majority of the games in the next series, or we could be facing something very bad.
Yeah, you saw them open up losing five games in a row. You don't want to have another losing streak like that. It's like they build momentum, and then they lose it. They take a step forward and two steps back. I feel like they have enough pieces to compete. And it was funny, listening to Evan today, I heard Tiki bring up that they're one game out of a playoff spot. And I laughed to myself, don't tell me about being one game out of a playoff spot on May 14th. What the hell does that matter?
Yeah, no. The season starts in the middle of the summer. We all know that.
You can't talk about playoffs and being one game out of the playoffs and try and look at the bright side in May. So much is going to change by the time we get to September. But the Mets just got to figure out a way, a lineup to match the pitching now, and a way to consistently string together wins. They're getting no hit. They're having perfect games against them. They're about to be swept. They got to have heroics from Lindor or Nimmo. Late in games, you get a flu game and a rib game to save you from being swept. And it's just not helping morale, as a lot of fans thought this was a punt season. A lot of fans were down on the offseason they had. And a lot of fans aren't showing up to the ballpark.
Look, I mean, I didn't think it was a punt, you know, like, I didn't think it was going to be like 2 years ago, but I think we were going to hang in there. I forget if it was on Evan and Tiki today or on Brandon and Sal, but one of them were saying it's almost like it's not the best roller coaster in the park where you go all the way up and all the way down. It's
yeah,
one of the
Tiki was saying that.
Keep going up, keep going down. So at the end of the day, that means that in the fall, as long as we catch ourselves on and up, we can sneak in there in the playoffs and hopefully get lucky, unlike we did in 22 when, you know, we got smoked in the wild card.
It's on the table. Thanks for the call, Ethan. This is an evaluation year for the Mets. They're evaluating a lot of different things. They're figuring it out. They're trying to make it happen. The Make It Happen Mets. I think they have some of that 2022 Make It Happen Mets DNA, but they also have a lot of last season's 2023 Let It Happen in their DNA. Winners make it happen. Losers let it happen, right? They let a lot of things happen to them. They let themselves be no hit. They're walking in runs, hit by pitch, letting a check swing going into Manfred's man on second decide a game where you were up 4-2 in the ninth inning. Your closer not being as sharp. You know, it's just little things, but it's early. I think that things are going to definitely change. We'll see what happens with the Mets as they approach the deadline. They had a very interesting approach to the deadline last year. I'd hang on if I'm a Met fan, but like I said, this thing can go south. You don't want to slip too many games under 500 where you can't get back up. And then it doesn't matter if you were a game out of a wild card spot in May. You got to win. You got to stack wins. 877-337-6666. Yeah, I come from a Yankee culture where in 203 we scream we hate the Mets. Nets fans are supposed to hate the Knicks just because they've been little brother. And they've moved around 5-6 different times over the last couple decades. The Knicks never moved.
Speak your mind. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
And I'm back. Thanks for holding. Thanks for not falling asleep, or maybe you did. Keith McPherson on the Fan. And it's funny that the station is called The Fan. It's for the fans. And I was talking about my own fandom before the break. And when I first came into the Fan, I came out of the podcast culture, the internet culture, the insert name of team Twitter, Yankees Twitter, Nets Twitter culture. But I wasn't a professional. I was someone that was given the opportunity to learn and become one. And through now hundreds of shows and reps and listening to hundreds of shows out of market and obviously in this market, the other station in this market, I think I've just learned how to host a good show. And I've learned how to lean into my own fandom at times and also leave it to the side. I don't think it matters, right? I don't think someone tuning in after the Knicks win, like they won, needs to hear me come in and say, oh, well, I'm a Nets fan. I hate to see the Knicks win. I don't feel that way. And that's not going to get in the way of me doing my job. I understand a lot of fans don't understand that. Like, I get paid to come here every night. Like, this is my profession. I went to college. I majored in radio and television. I'm living my dream. And for my dream to continue, I think it would behoove me to lean into the fandom and emotions of the city. 877-337-6666. It's been going pretty well, right? I joked about being a bleacher creature in section 203. It's banana, Mets suck. We hate the Mets. I didn't come up with that. I learned that 10 years ago, sitting in 203. I'm a Devils fan, but as many of you know, I came into WFAN like, yeah, I don't watch hockey. Not for nothing. None of my brothers, cousins, relatives ever asked me if I wanted to watch the Rangers or the Devils. It's just not a part of Black culture. And that's just the honest truth. I didn't grow up around people cutting on hockey games. I played a little bit of NHL 96, 97 when I was a little kid. Collected some trading cards. Played a little bit of roller hockey. But as I got older, I found it was tough to be an NBA fan and NHL fan at the same time because the seasons overlap. And when I was young, I was a Jordan fan because everybody young and impressionable was a Jordan fan, unless your dad or brother was telling you, no, we don't rock with Mike. So naturally, being a Jordan fan, you can't be a Knicks fan. I was listening to BT's show the other day, and it cracked me up because a guy in his 30s around my age called in to say, yeah, I was a Bulls fan, a Jordan fan, but you know, I'm from the area. I'm a Knicks fan now. And BT said, whoa. You're not going to just slide that in there. That you grew up rooting for Michael Jordan, who was killing the Knicks. And then when he faded out and then the Bulls faded out, you just became a Knicks fan. I became a Nets fan. I grew up in Monmouth County, New Jersey. I live in Jersey City now. And yeah, there were plenty of times where I hated on the Knicks, trolled the Knicks, but I can't hate on this run. I think you're a clown. I think you're a goofy. If you're looking at this team and how they play and the storylines of all of these players, like just the players that they run out there every night, they were nobody's favorite. They were nobody's top pick. The Knicks are going out there winning games with guys that were not top draft picks, were not bona fide superstars, guys that have played for multiple teams, guys who nobody wanted. Like, I can relate to that. I can relate to that beyond a fan level. I can relate to that on a personal level. I felt like I wasn't wanted. I felt like I was somebody that had to really grind it out and work and earn my spot. So it's different, you know. It's different. 877-337-6666. I leaned into my Cowboys fandom when the Cowboys bust the Giants' ass 40-0 first game of the season. But ultimately, I know what's going to happen with them every year. They're going to get bounced in the playoffs. Now I'm at the point with Jerry Jones and the ineptitude of the Dallas Cowboys where I'm like, there's no point of me repping the Dallas Cowboys, especially on the Fan where we play the Giants games. They're embarrassing. I'm not putting on another piece of Dallas Cowboys gear for a while. What does it benefit me? It doesn't. The Rangers and Devils rivalry, I understand. I remember being at a Devils game, and I guess I didn't know who the guy was. Obviously, the guy listened to the Fan, and he literally told me, hey, take that Devils jersey off if you're going to be talking up the Rangers like that. I'm like, hey, what you mean? And he's like, we're Devils fans. we don't root for the Rags. And I'm like, I'm not rooting for them, bro. I'm hosting a radio show. The Rangers are a good team. When you watch them play as a Devils fan, you know that because the Rangers kicked the Devils' ass every time they got a chance to this past year. I'm rooting for a parade. I've been in New York City for a long time now, working a bunch of different jobs, not just radio jobs. Driving Lyft Uber around this city, doing Uber Eats in this city, doing freelance work from social media to photography to video editing. Being a social media coordinator, manager, digital marketing manager at different companies in the city, uptown, midtown, downtown. And through the whole time that I've been here, this last decade and some change, I haven't seen a parade. I haven't seen anyone come through the Canyon of Heroes. I haven't seen any confetti falling. I haven't seen a day where New Yorkers take off of work because there's a championship parade coming through. That's what I'm rooting for. 877-337-6666. Frank is in Montville. Frank, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Congrats to the Knicks. Happy for them.
One more to get.
I have one point to make, and I got to say, basketball and hockey, it makes for great drama. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Seven-game series are different. I mean, it's not like the NFL where it's one game on a Sunday or a Saturday. It's not like Major League Baseball now with a janky new postseason that there's an extra wild card team and then there's a wild card round and it used to be sudden death. It's great. These seven-game series are everything. The greatest two words in sports are game seven.
The Joel Embiid thing, I mean, that was better than prime time anything.
Movie.
It was so exciting to watch. But
movie. I don't watch movies.
The reason I'm calling is I kind of want to know what Tibbs did. If you look at Obi and TJ in game four, they scored 29 points, 14 and 15. And in game five, he held them down. What do you think that Tibbs did to hold these guys down?
I mean, it's just a completely different game. The first thing that everybody noticed was that Precious Achiuwa wasn't starting and it was Miles McBride. But, like, it's a completely different game in a different building. The Pacers came out and blew the Knicks' doors off. They had their way. And everybody knew that game was over. They didn't have their way tonight. They weren't coming into the Garden and doing what they did in Indiana. It's just a complete different game. So I can't say it's necessarily what Tibbs did to stop these guys off the bench because it's still the same guys for the Knicks out there. It's just momentum swinging. It's just not the comfort of your own building. It's not a Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. It's just a different environment.
And I want to say one more thing, Keith, before I go. Okay, Rangers fans, relax. We got this. And by the way, really happy Caitlin Clark's going to Indiana. It should be fun to watch her play women's basketball.
Yeah, she took an L tonight. Thanks for the call, Frank. 877-337-6666. I'm happy for the WNBA, but I got to be honest, I still don't care. And I'm not trying to be, negative. I turned on my Fubo app today, and it's like, the WNBA starts today. Want to see the schedule? No, I clicked no thanks. I'm going in here to watch the Yankee game. Like, I'm happy that the WNBA, these girls have chartered flights now. They should have been had their own flights. I'm happy these girls are getting deals now. Shoe deals, Gatorade deals, getting the respect they deserve. I just saw Aja Wilson and Kelsey Plum pulling up to their game, and they look like NBA players. How the NBA players have ridiculous outfits on, look like they're coming out of outer space. Good. I'm glad that because of Caitlin Clark, everything's ticking up. But I personally am not checking for it. Even like the Liberty played tonight, and I was like, oh, well, good. But I just like, I'm at my capacity with sports that I can take in. I'm sure people enjoy the women's game. I'm watching hockey now. I don't have any room to take on the WNBA, learning the players, watching those games. I'm happy for women in sports and the equality, but me personally as a fan, I watch the NFL. I watch college football. I watch the NBA. I watch college basketball. I watch the NHL. And I damn sure go to as many Yankee games as I possibly can. And I watch Major League Baseball. Other than that, like, I don't know. And I feel like, I don't feel bad about it, but I feel like I don't have, like, I don't know what it's going to take for me to be like, yeah, like, let's go Liberty. I'm going to go to a Liberty game or watch the Liberty game. Like, it's okay to admit, like, I like the quality of basketball in the NBA more than the WNBA. That's it. I'd just rather watch these guys hoop. I'm not checking for the Mystics or the Sun or the Fever. But I'm happy some people are. I really am. I'm happy that it's not, you know, in the past, like, you know, acted like it's not a real professional league. They're starting to get the right coverage and endorsements, and these women can make money. Like, some of the money that we heard that they were making in WNBA, that didn't make any sense. But obviously, it's because people have to buy the tickets and buy the merch, and then they have the resources. But I don't know. They're not getting a dollar out of me. I'm already set. I'm all good with the sports that I'm watching. 877-337-6666. Jarvis is up in Harlem. Jarvis, you're back on the Fan.
Yo, what's up, Key? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I think your Nuggets got it, bro. I just think I don't think they're going to lose another game to the Timberwolves.
Yeah, we're not going to lose three straight at home. You're not going to lose three straight at home. Let's just like Minnesota won game two and one and two at home in Denver. So we're not going to lose three straight at home. So hopefully we have a couple in the lead. So, yeah, so it's a good thing. So, but I want to talk about the Knicks and, you know, after getting blown out in game four, and when they score 86 points, when the Pacers put up 121, and now the Knicks did tonight put up 121 and looking for revenge to the Pacers. So it's a revenge payback. So that was a good win for the Knicks.
It was a great win. It was a must win. It was a tone setting win, a momentum changing win. And you know, now people were thinking, oh man, they got blown out. What about in the Garden? No, the Pacers are not good enough to come into the Garden and do anything. But the Knicks are good enough to go to Gainbridge Fieldhouse and compete with them like they did on Friday. And maybe the ball bounces their way and it's Knicks in six again.
Yeah, they should have won game three if it weren't for that Pacers step back three for the game winner.
Prayer. Nemhard's prayer answered like Tyrese Maxey's was. Like, that's how they're losing games.
Right.
Prayer shots from 31 feet, 34 feet going in.
Right. And I want to talk about the New York Mets and, you know, getting shut out 4-0. But, you know, against the Philadelphia Phillies that won 20 straight and 23 games, which is not the best record in top of the NL East. So I don't know if the Mets going to be in that wild card because you got to compete with the Braves and the Phillies, which is then, you know, just the Mets got to compete with. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, and there's other good teams across baseball that are, like, also around 500 right now that they're not going to stay there. Like, I look at the Mets, and I think a lot about the San Diego Padres. The San Diego Padres are 22-23. They also had the high payroll last year. But because they're small market, we don't talk about them. Because they're small market, they don't get as much attention. But, like, are the Mets better than the Padres? Maybe. Both of them have high payrolls and have had, you know, low performances. Way lower than expectation. Another team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who were in the World Series last year. They're 20-13. They're hovering around 500 too. They're going to be in the mix in their own division. The Washington Nationals are 20-21. They're a little better this year. That Juan Soto trade, some of the guys that they got, like, they're competing. They're playing. You got to worry about them. So just in the National League, there are some teams that are hovering around 500, similar to the Mets. That, like, what are we talking about? Why are we even talking about them being a game out of the postseason in May? There's just so many different things that have to happen for them to stay there. All in all, I think they have the pitching, and the hitting needs to be a little bit better. Here comes Mark Vientos again to shake up the lineup. Really, they're missing Francisco Alvarez. I feel like if they had that kid, right, like, that kid is the energy. That kid is the one who sets the tone. He's the one to follow. I don't know if Lindor or Lonzo really are the alpha or the leader. That young man, he has it. So we'll see what happens with Mark Vientos coming up. Maybe he adds another bat. But, I mean, they got J.D. Martinez. They've got Starling Marte, Brandon Nimmo. Even guys like D.J. Stewart, Tyrone Taylor. They've been better than expected. They have enough guys to swing the bat. It just isn't coming together.
All right, thanks, Steve. I'll talk to you later, man.
Thanks for the call, Jarvis. 877-337-6666. I'm going to sneak in some football talk in the next hour because you guys got me thinking about Jerry Jones and Daniel Jones. We've got the 100 years of the New York Giants coming up. I know you guys probably saw that Eli Manning pinstripe bobblehead that they're going to give out at the Yankee game. I don't want one, but if I get one, I'll give it away to somebody. We've got some more leaks from the NFL schedule. And look at that, tomorrow. Tomorrow, we find out the full NFL schedule release, who plays who, and yeah, the Jets got to go face Aaron Rodgers' favorite team as a kid. The same team that passed up on him in the draft. The same team that the Jets got their head coach from.